Cities throughout Wisconsin struggle to be as safe, healthy, environmentally sustainable, and well-governed as they aim to be. An innovative partnership between local communities and UW-Madison, University Alliance, is bridging the gap, connecting local governments in Wisconsin to university resources to solve community-identified challenges. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Today, we'll hear more about the University Alliance, how the program is kickstarting innovation, and how students are gaining some real-world experience in ways that could help ensure healthier communities moving forward. Gavin Luter is the Managing Director of the University Alliance. He joins us today. Gavin, welcome to Route 51.
Thanks. So glad to be here.
Also with us today to talk about his own community's University Alliance experience is Waupaca City Administrator Aaron Jensen. Aaron, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And a third guest today, we have Angela Keita. She is Associate Director of the University of Wisconsin-Madison Center for Innovation and Engineering Education. Angela, welcome as well.
Hi, thank you.
As we get underway here, I want to set the stage a little bit and have you each talk a little bit about yourself and your connection to the program. So, Gavin, let's start with you. Tell me a little bit about yourself and how this all came to be for you.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure to be here again. Thank you so much for having me. I have a background of about 20 years in university community engagement stuff. So basically, I have a real passion for getting universities out in the world of practice, getting us off campus and getting our students real world experiences. So I grew up in Virginia, went to the University of Tennessee, went to University of Buffalo, and then ended up here in Madison, Wisconsin. And I've been here for about 10 years and I've gotten to travel all across the state of Wisconsin. And I've gotten to see how great of a state it is, so many different corners of our state. It's funny, whenever I when I took a job here, I traveled around the state a lot, and people are like, wow, you're not even a Wisconsinite. You've probably traveled to more places than I have, and I've lived here my whole life.
Yeah.
So I've gotten to see all these different communities, and I got the opportunity to apply for this job where we're really trying to bridge the gap, as you said in your introduction, between what universities have to offer and what local governments, you know, cities, counties, towns, villages, school districts, lake districts, it doesn't really matter, the kinds of things that they want to make progress on. And I, you know, before I took this job, I thought, gosh, wouldn't it be great if the university was helping out with these issues and challenges? And I just got a cool opportunity to be able to serve as that intermediary between the university and the cities, counties, towns, villages, as I mentioned. And something that had always struck me was, you know, if these cities and counties and towns and villages wanted to work with the university, how would they even go about it? I mean, sometimes we're such large bureaucracies, it's hard to kind of know where to knock on the door. You can't just go to the chancellor's office and say, we want to start a partnership.
Right.
Yeah. Like sometimes maybe a mayor might go to a chancellor's office and say, we want to do something, but you know, that can be a little symbolic. And it's like, what is the meat of really what's going on here? And so we created a really simple way for local governments to say, literally raise their hand and say, we would love to work with a bunch of young, you know, excited students who were kind of, they just want good experiences and they want their work to matter. And we thought, you know, hey, why don't we make a program that allows those communities to apply, say what they want help with, and then we serve as those projects ambassadors across campus, and then we get them to the right people on campus. So instead of these communities having to knock on the door and say, we want to work with every individual faculty member, they come to one place and they say, we want to work with you. We take in their projects, help them scope them out, and then go to our Rolodex on campus of people who love working with communities and get them to the right people immediately. So hopefully it makes that process of connecting with the university very easy, very straightforward, and it makes the work of our students very applied, very directly actionable for the communities. And we don't show up and tell them what they need. The communities show up and tell us what they want and what they need. And then our students try to produce what they can to help those communities make progress on their goals. So that's who I am, and that's generally what we're doing here.
All right, great. Aaron, you are the city administrator in Waupaca. How long have you been in that role?
About 5 years.
5 years now? And how did, so tell me about yourself and how this program, you know, came to your attention.
So I'm a little bit about myself. I actually was born and raised in Waupaca. I'm fortunate enough to be serving the community that did so much for me growing up. And currently married to my eighth grade sweetheart. We have two kids and just love being around here. I work with some amazing people. I have an amazing staff, our department heads throughout the organization, all of our staff. And I'm blessed to be surrounded by an amazing group of elected officials and a mayor that is, I don't have this proof, but he has to be the longest running mayor in the state. It's like 23 years or something.
Really?
So that to be surrounded by that kind of stability and that kind of expertise is fantastic. As far as our interest in, I think I ran into Gavin at a conference, one of our professional conferences first, kind of piqued my interest on what they do, what they're trying to accomplish. And then we have team visioning sessions in a meeting that we call our DIRT meeting, which is development review team, with a number of department heads and the mayor. And we just started talking about, hey, are we a candidate for this program? And we're always thinking about things and visioning, I guess, working through visioning sessions and things that we may not always be able to get to. And then we started to identify some of these longer term initiatives that we know aren't just like aren't just happening this year, but they're likely to exist in 3, 4, 5 years. And how can we work with university to do that? And on a side note, I think it's great. Gavin mentioned the ability to make it easy for communities like us. We don't have a university. We always look up the road and we're like, man, wouldn't it be great to be in Stevens Point for some reason?
Sure.
The universities there, or Oshkosh, because you can have these collaborations so easy. And really, this is kind of what we're doing here, but all the way down by Madison, which we're about 2 hours away. So we identified, really, to start, four different projects to look at. And work with the university program on. And I'm just going to tell you kind of why and some of the benefits we see out of it before we get into the weeds on that, if that's what we're going to do.
Sure.
But number one, we were able to go to their website and see just the quality of work that a lot of their students have produced so far. And it was very, very high quality. It looked like professional level documents in a lot of instances. Second, you know, we loved the idea of promoting the public service profession as a career, whether it's my job as a city administrator or engineering and a public works director or community development, and to be able to engage with students and hopefully give them an experience that they enjoy in school to get them to stick with it, because we feel like this is really important work. Also, so besides assisting the kids in that education is just, ultimately, it's a cost-effective way for us to do these planning documents. So we looked at the quality of what they were producing, and then we kind of compared it to, well, what would it actually cost us to get these level of documents? And it was, you know, it way more. Like, we wouldn't do it.
Astronomical, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So there was value there. And then also, from a selfish standpoint, like, who knows, right? Everyone is struggling. There's less and less candidates for positions these days, and we're lucky to not have a ton of turnover right now, but if opportunities ever open up in the city of Waupaca, maybe there's relationships that are built with students that can lead to more permanent relationships down the road. So those are just a few of the reasons that we found this so attractive.
And you're just kind of starting this journey right now, right? You're in the early stages.
We are. We actually just kind of finished in the last couple of months, finished our scoping meetings. So basically just working through the details of each project, working on getting matched with the appropriate school, so to speak, and the appropriate professors and groups of students. So we're still kind of in that relationship building phase, I would say.
Great. Angela, let's turn to you. Tell me about yourself and your relationship with this program and how it all came to be for you.
Okay, I can do that. So I think my journey is a little more circuitous. And I would just say I came here actually from California many years ago now for my graduate work in biology, of all things, and happened to love Madison, ended up staying, and also found myself more in the sort of teaching spaces. And that's what brought me to the College of Engineering, is just this real, I guess, passion, if you will, around how do we make education better generally? What does that mean? So how do we make it easier for instructors to teach and be comfortable in their classrooms? How do we make learning more effective for students? And so my role within the Center for Innovation and Engineering Education, which I guess I joined about a year and a half ago, is really focused around the idea of leadership education. So how do we help our engineering students who are already, they have so much that is asked of them in their curriculum. They are learning all their technical skills. There's a lot. How do we kind of find ways to weave in leadership opportunities, both in their regular courses, but then also create opportunities where they can kind of dive in a little deeper? So some of the work I do is working with first-year courses and senior design courses, where we're really focusing leadership by way of teamwork. So how do we help students build their teamwork skills in a really concerted way? So, for example, you wouldn't tell a mechanical engineering student, hey, here's a car, go build it now.
Right.
But we kind of do that with teamwork. We say, okay, you're on a team, now go be a team. So some of the stuff we're doing in the first year senior design courses is around giving students some of that specific language and skills to be better teammates, team members. But the sort of more focused version is how I'm connected with University Alliance is through a course, Intern Engineering 303, but it's applied competencies in leadership for engineering students. So it's a full semester long course where we really take more of a deep dive. The students get to engage in learning about different leadership styles. It's a very discussion based course. So we're really talking about values and sort of what the different strengths each student has and what they're bringing to their teams, and also thinking about how they want to lead as future engineers. And then a part of that class is it's open to all engineering students. So it's multidisciplinary, all different levels of students from freshmen up to master's students. And they are doing this work on leadership and exploring that for themselves. And then we also partner with University Alliance, and that's a sort of semester-long project. So the students are engaging with cities or counties, sort of depending on which projects come to us each semester, to solve a problem that city or county has. And what's really great, exciting about it is they aren't necessarily solving engineering problems. In fact, none of our projects are engineering problems. We're specifically curating projects that don't require them to necessarily put a bunch of equations together and draw some schematics, but they're taking those engineering problem-solving skills and applying them in a different way, while also getting to engage directly with civil workers, right? So they're mm-hmm. learning what the challenges are there, what the constraints can be working for a city or a county. And they're also trying to think of innovative new solutions that maybe people don't have time to think about in the day-to-day right. of working their regular job. So I can pause there.
All right. Well, we'll take a break. Aaron Jensen, Angela Kita, Gavin Luter, our guests today on Route 51. We're talking about the University Alliance Partnership Program in communities throughout the state, and we will pick up the conversation in just a moment. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Shereen Seward. Our guests are Angela Kita, Aaron Jensen, and Gavin Luter, and we're discussing the University Alliance. It's a program that's connecting communities to university resources. Gavin, how long has this program been going on, and have you been with it since the start?
Yeah, we've been in existence for about 8 years now. I was around from almost the beginning. I was on the advisory board before I actually became a staff member there. It was led by a postdoctoral fellow in the Global Health Institute for a while. And then they realized, like, we really need a full-time person to do it. They were able to go out to some of our alumni and a private philanthropy, American Family Insurance, to help get the money to actually start our initiative. And then we started in about 2016, 2017 with the city of Monona. We thought, hey, let's start in our backyard first.
Close to home.
So Monona is like a 10-minute drive from downtown Madison. So we thought, let's see if we can actually do this with a local community. They were willing to do it. That went well. Then we said, well, let's try the county. You know, the county expressed interest. And then we thought, let's go to Greene County. Greene County is just to the south of Madison. We did 50 projects for Greene County. Then Pepin County came knocking at our door. We're like, well, that's really far. That's like 3, 3.5 hours away from Madison. Can we do it? And then that's when the pandemic hit. So it really helped us understand how to move our program almost to 100% virtual. And so yeah, we realized that we can do the entire state of Wisconsin. We have worked in 35 communities over the last 8 years. We used to only work with one per year. Then we started to take on multiple. So this year we're currently working with 9 communities. Next year we're going to be working with 6 communities, because they're all coming to us with very clear senses of what they want to do. So we can kind of work and manage that. So it has been around for that long, and we've worked with that many people, and we've worked with over 2,000 students and 101 unique faculty, and we've worked with almost every school and college in the University of Wisconsin, except pharmacy and veterinary medicine. I'm sorry, we haven't had a lot of pharmacy related or animal related questions, but maybe one day.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, I know there are some communities out there who do like the no mow thing using goats. So I feel like maybe someone will come to us
Well,
with a
some has
vet
done that.
question. But anyway, yeah, that's how long we've been around, and that's who we worked with.
Aaron, I'm curious, what was the reaction like when you talked with the other people in your administration, when you talked to the mayor, you talked to the council, you talked to people? I mean, were they thinking, what are you talking about? Or did you get this immediate buy-in from them?
Well, in that in our internal group, that includes our department heads and the mayor. No, I think everyone was on board pretty quick, because, like I said earlier, we just have all of these things that we want to get to. We just don't have the capacity to do it. So we felt like, again, this was a really cost-effective and for all the benefits that I mentioned earlier, a great way to make progress towards those non-urgent items that will need to be addressed at some point, or that we should have plans for at some point. So, and then as far as like presenting to the rest of council, we just did it in our regular capital budget planning process in the fall, and we talked about our projects, talked about this as one of them, and here we are.
I mean, it is interesting. I'm glad to hear that, Aaron, that there wasn't a lot of hesitation. I mean, I think when people start to think about like all the important but maybe not urgent things that are in their comprehensive plans or their strategic plans, just things that we want to do as a community. Like, this is our vision, this is where we want to go. But we don't have like unlimited and unending staff resources. We can only do but so many things in 1 year. I almost, the way that I just I'm starting to describe it to people is like, think of it as like a short-term think tank that can give you a bunch of resources at the same time to help you really get a shot in the arm to make progress on these important but maybe not urgent things, or maybe things like we're not really sure where to get started on fill in the blank project. Like, we might one day want to build an industrial park, but we're not sure what that's going to look like and where we would put it. Or one day we might want to start a new initiative, but we don't know if it's worth our time and effort to do it. Maybe things that like aren't quite ready to go to like an RFP for a consultant to do like a full study, but it's like, we really want to do this. We want to apply for this grant. How do we get set up for success? So it's like this short-term, very quick think tank of students who are relative, I'm going to put this in quotes, your listeners can't see it, but relatively disinterested group of students, in the sense of like, we're not from that community. We're not coming there with an agenda. We don't want to see one thing done over another thing. We're not caught up in local politics. I mean, I know sometimes things that we deal with, like people have strong feelings one way or the other. We can ask questions sometimes that people can't ask on within that community, because it's like, oh, that's a sacred cow or something like that. That's something that we really, it's just not up for debate. One community was like, well, we don't know if we should keep this lake. Like, we might want to drain the lake. And our community partners were like, we can't be the ones to ask that. But if your students come in and ask, then it's just like, well, it's these students who are wondering, whether or not this is an option. And so I say it kind of gives a little bit of cover to the community to say, if a student comes up with a great idea, then like, oh, you're so forward thinking. And it's like, great, you've gone out there and worked with these innovative next generation, da, da. And then it's like, if they give you something that's like too pie in the sky, they're like, yeah, these crazy college students. I mean, they don't even know what's going on. They're just not grounded in reality. So I think it maybe brings a little levity to some of these like really serious public issues. And yeah, just open some doors for possibilities I think have not been there in the past for some communities.
Angela, talk about that a little bit, how important it is that the kids that you work with, and I call them kids because I, you know, to me they're in their 20s or whatever, but how important is it that they come into this with this unbiased thinking, you know, when they're an outside party that has no stake in the game, that, you know, no skin in the game, for them to, you know, come up with these ideas that are really workable for communities.
Yeah, I think that's a really valuable component of it because as was just mentioned, they're not necessarily from these communities, and for many of them, the topics are actually completely novel in the sense it's not something they've thought about very closely. And so I think that is valuable because it both removes potential bias from a starting place, and it allows them to, yeah, think outside the box and come up with a whole bunch of ideas, some of which may be totally off base, but that's okay because the sponsors that we get to work with are able to then kind of rein them back in and say, well, actually, we maybe this is a good direction to go in. As an example, we just had one of our presentations yesterday. City of Wausau HR department wants to just ideas on how to better recruit and retain employees broadly to civil positions. And they came up with a whole bunch of ideas. I just have a list here of things like increasing social media presence, researching solutions to reach younger audiences, offering internships, looking into adding benefits, looking into changing retirement plans. And it was great. It would be great if the city could add benefits and change retirement plans. But, you know, at least that idea is out there. And instead, you know, our sponsor, James, was able to say, actually, what I'm really interested is hearing more about social media because I have no experience with that. And I would love for you all to go out and try some things. And so, yeah, it's a great, both from that aspect of, like I said, less bias, but also just trying things that maybe a city just doesn't have time or capacity to even be thinking about.
Well, it's interesting. In Wausau, the HR director is relatively new. He has not been in Wausau for very long, and Wausau just elected a new mayor too. So there's a whole different, you know, there's a whole different administration. And I mean, how were those suggestions received? Was he really receptive to all of it? What did you take away from it?
Yeah, my impression was he was just super jazzed about the whole thing. Very excited. Because the flip side on the retention, the students had talked about and crafted some ideas around things like having stay interviews. So think of an exit interview, but instead of an exit interview, which is only when someone is leaving, you build in stay interviews. So you really get to hear what is working from employees, what's going to keep them there. And then they also had an idea around something called a 30, 60, 90 plan of kind of building in, okay, your first 30 days and really helping onboard employees better so they have a better sense of community. So I, part of this course is I do try to give the students as much autonomy as they can. So they are doing the interfacing with their partner, and I don't want to be hovering over those meetings unless there's some need for me to be there, because I would argue that helps them with their leadership skills as well. All the impressions I got was that James was just really enjoying their enthusiasm, their excitement, their just creative ideas. And I mean, point in fact, he drove down from Wausau yesterday for a 4 p.m. presentation and then was going to drive back up. So he was excited enough to drive 2 hours
Yeah,
down
so
from
there's
Wausau to
some
see a
commitment
presentation.
there, right?
For sure, for sure.
Yes. Aaron, I'm curious how your community in Waupaca narrowed down the range of what you wanted to work on. I mean, because it sounds like there's a broad range of things that you could have chosen. I mean, from you know, HR things to economic development to how did you whittle it down and say, okay, these are the things that we really need to focus on? Was that difficult?
Yes. We have a lot of ideas. And I think when we first started, we probably had a list of 20 ideas. And the reality is, though, is that like this is a, there's going to be staff time that comes with this, right? Like we're going to be working with the students. We can't execute 20 ideas, it's not in the best interest of us or in the best interest of probably the students, because then we're not giving them the time needed to have be a quality output. And then actually, to be honest, we, when I sent Gavin over, I think, a list of our, what we thought was going to be our items that we were going to work towards, a couple months went by and we realized that we picked items with expiration dates that, you know, they, things change. Mm-hmm. And we realized those weren't the best things to be talking about or working towards. And we kind of reset the deck and then just really focused in on four items that we knew had a shelf life of several years, if not more than that. And we feel good about where we landed.
Gavin, talk about that a little bit, how you help those municipalities really narrow their focus and find areas that are really workable and realistic for them.
Yeah, I will say that this is the most artistic and least scientific part of our process, in the sense of, like, there's no easy way to kind of get there. I mean, what we tell community partners, I think Aaron can back me up on this, you know, we try to tell community partners to tell to choose subjects that, of course, really interest them. We also tell them to, like, think big, and then we can scale down. We can get a little bit more focused. So we really try to talk through in our scoping process, like, why do you need this? What have you tried in the past that has not worked before? What are the major political hurdles to getting there? If you've tried to make progress on this and you haven't made progress, why do you think that is? Also, like, a big one is, like, what do you want to be holding in your hand at the end of the day? So, like, I'm trying to think of back to one of our scoping processes that we just had recently, Aaron, about the Riverwalk. And it became clear that you all had, like, a particular grant program in mind through, like, the Department of Natural Resources. And it's like, oh, okay, good to know. So, like, let's focus our work on making sure that our students' deliverable matches what will go well with the DNR. And maybe we reach out to the DNR contact and say, hey, this group of students is working with us on this project. Like, let's pull you in now. So, like, they didn't originally say, we want to write a grant that will go with the DNR, but they did put in there, there's something related to the, we want to make sure it's in line with DNR standards. And we're like, oh, what does that tell us a little bit more about that? So sometimes it is a process of just getting in there, getting your hands dirty, saying, like, hey, what exactly is it that you want to do with this? That's actually a big question that we ask every community partner, is like, how do you want to use this report? Because yeah, if we think of the end in mind, then it's more of like, well, that might actually change what we hand you. Is if you want to use this in, say, a community engagement session, like, one of our communities wanted to, like, design a policy manual for, like, a new thing that they were going to do. And then it became clear, like, their staff training was inadequate. And that had nothing to do with policies. It was just they needed a new staff training. And so we were just like, oh, so you just, like, need a PowerPoint that has staff training resources? Yeah. And they were like, yeah. We're like, okay, great.
Perfect.
So, you know, like, that they didn't write in their report, like, they didn't write in their application, we want a staff training module. It just became clear after speaking with them and listening to them that that's actually what they needed. So we tell the communities to select the projects as best they possibly can. But like Aaron said, you know, he went through and found like 10 things, and then 2-3 months passes. It's like, well, things change. But he did have enough things on there that it's like, okay, these are meaty enough. These are what we're going to be working on for the next 2 to 3 to maybe even 5 years. Like, those are the things that we want to work on. And usually those projects have, like, different components to them. So it might be like, you might need a site design, and you might need a grant application, and you might need some data analyzed or whatever it is. But that's where, I mean, the relationship building and diving in, talking about every community project is super important, because they might write, we need a strategic plan, but mm-hmm. what they really need is something mm-hmm. else. But it's like, okay, just, like, put on the paper whatever you think you need, and then, like, let's talk about it. I don't want your listeners to think that this is some weird, like, weird manipulative process of, like, us steering people in a direction. It's more of just, like, getting in, trying to learn a little bit more, and then saying, this is what I think I'm hearing you say. Is that right? Mm-hmm. And that's where I think we can be flexible. It's like, oh, yeah, we have, like, so many different backgrounds of people on campus that, like, We can hook you up with some potential grant writers. We can hook you up with some program evaluators. We can hook you up with some site designers, or, you know, whatever it is. But it's just a matter of like getting in, listening, and really truly understanding what the communities need.
I'm curious, Angela, you were talking about how the Wausau's HR director came down and met. I mean, is that typical that representatives from each community then come down and meet specifically with students? What normally happens?
Yeah, so for most of the ways the students are interacting with their sponsors, it typically tends to be over Zoom for the majority of the semester, because it is they're far flung. I think our sure. farthest community we worked with last semester, we worked with River Falls. So that was pretty far away. We did have a suggestion: if any students lived in Minneapolis and were going home for Thanksgiving, they might stop by and say hey on their way, but didn't work out. So typically they are communicating over Zoom. The student groups also tend to be anywhere from 4 to 6 students, so they have to figure out their schedule and make sure they can all connect. And then all the sponsors are invited to come to their final presentations. They don't typically all drive down. However, we always have a Zoom option, and all the sponsors thus far have been very excited to come see the final presentation, ask a lot of good questions. And then I think the also valuable part for the sponsors is we open up the presentation to questions from the rest of the students in the class. And that's always fun, because then they tend to be thinking about things that the students on the team weren't even thinking about for their project. And we have some more discussions around what could be possible solutions for these projects. But yeah, it's been great to have the sponsors come and actually see the final work, which typically is a presentation to share out what they've done. But then to Gavin's point, each project is a little special in the sense that some people are wanting, like Wausau is going to get a version of an exit interview created through a Google form that the students put together. We also have the police department in Wausau this semester was really interested in getting essentially rubrics of, hey, every time we have a public event, we're really curious how we can staff them, but it would be help if we had a way to just identify, based on the type of event we're having, what sort of staffing needs would be best for that. And then we have one of our other projects this year is in Cottage Grove, which is close to Madison, although I'm not sure anybody went over, but they're really interested in economic development and how do they get resident input. So those students put together a visual preference survey, again, as I think a Google form. So there are both the presentation itself, and then there tends to be different add-ons that the students are creating for each community.
Yeah, and you know, I want to add on to that to say that wasn't all totally pre-scripted in all the scoping meetings. Like, when we went in and talked with the HR director in Wausau, it was like, hey, we want ideas. We want all the ideas that you can muster. They didn't come to us and say, can you give us a Google form of a pre-scripted, you know, stay interview? That came with like the students interacting with the community partner and kind of changing in real time to accommodate their needs, which is one of the things that we want to teach students, is that as much as we have a vision for things, we need to stay open-minded, because in the real world, things change or things evolve. And that's something that's like hard to read in a textbook. You need to like experience that.
You're listening to Gavin Luter, Angela Kita, and Aaron Jensen on Route 51. We're having a discussion on a program that is connecting communities to university resources and helping local governments solve their own identified challenges. More ahead. I'm Shireen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Shireen Seward, along with our guests, Gavin Luter and Aaron Jensen, as well as Angela Kita. We're discussing the University Alliance Partnership Program. It's connecting communities with UW-Madison resources. But Gavin, I want to ask you about other universities. Do you also work with students at other universities? Like you were talking about River Falls the other day, and we talked about Oshkosh or Stevens Point. How does that play in?
The short answer is yes. We are absolutely, we have many examples of we've worked with other universities. We're working in River Falls right now, and we actually had a traffic safety project, and a wonderful faculty member over at UW River Falls named Chris Holtkamp, who runs a lot of their planning and urban planning, environmental planning projects. He was like, hey, I have some students who could help with some of the measurements that need to happen for this traffic safety projects. And when we worked in Racine County, we made some great connections with UW Parkside and their mental health counseling program. We worked in Milwaukee and we did an MPH, a Master's of Public Health class. One time we worked in River Falls and we worked with somebody from Ripon College, which was, or sorry, Wisconsin Rapids. We just talked about River Falls, sorry. Wisconsin Rapids, and we worked with Ripon College, which like is not right next to Wisconsin Rapids, but they had a class that wonderfully aligned. So the answer is yes. I mean, Shireen, when I was giving you my background, what I didn't say is my job before this was I actually worked across the state of Wisconsin, which is why I've traveled so many to places, was trying to get universities more engaged in community-based problem solving. Through a group called Wisconsin Campus Compact. And so I have connections at universities all across the state. Anytime that I can find somebody who's at a university who has an instructor or a faculty member who's like, yes, I want my students to work on real world projects, I can guarantee that they're going to do a good job. And like, I am all ears. And I would love, like, if anybody from another university of Wisconsin or a private college or a 2-year college, technical college is wondering, can I get in touch with this person? Yes, please reach out to me. Gavin, if you just Google Gavin Luter, UW-Madison, it's very easy to find me and we will find ways. I just met a guy named Mike Ford at UW-Oshkosh who runs a lot of projects for local governments. He's training a lot of future local government employees. We might be able to find some great connections. So the answer is yes, exclamation point. We are open to working with all universities. I'm passionate about making universities useful and rebuilding public trust between universities and the public. And I have a real passion for this.
Aaron, I'm curious if this kind of program is something that can help connect you with the many grant opportunities that are available right now. There's a lot of grant funding that is flowing these days into municipalities. How does that play in?
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually, so a little background, the city of Waupaca has a shared grant writer that is a full-time position. We share them with the Chamber of Commerce and the school district of Waupaca. It's been a wonderful situation. And I think he's received or been awarded over $3 million into the community since he started a couple of years ago. But we talk about it in our League of Wisconsin Municipality meetings. And it's kind of, hey, you know, we're reminded this is a kind of a historic time in the state of Wisconsin for local municipalities, local units of government, in which there are these opportunities available. And how are you positioning yourself to be competitive, to have a shot at them? And I think this program, we felt like, was one of the things we could do to give ourselves a better opportunity potentially than others. I think anytime anyone's reviewing grant applications, they love to see that there was some planning and some thought and some community engagement. And this wasn't just like an idea that came out of thin air because that grant opportunity all of a sudden became available. And in no way am I saying that we expect that whatever our documents are, whatever our results are from the university project, we're not expecting that to get us a $1 million grant or a whatever. But, you know, that's one of the added benefits that we think, you know, it certainly won't hurt.
Angela, I'm curious about what this means for your students. I mean, this kind of experience and these kinds of connections that they're making, the real world aspect of this, what have you heard from your students who have graduated and gone on and you know, gotten jobs? Has this been useful for them?
I think it's useful in a number of ways. Going back to this idea of, you know, we're focusing on leadership skills. What does that mean? I think it gives students a sense of what that can mean on a team working with others. And this idea that they don't have to be the capital L leader in the room, and that oftentimes leading means listening and really hearing your community partners or hearing the people you're working with. So I know that a lot of what they're taking away from this is building those skills, and then also in a really applied way, thinking about what that means for the communities they're working with. This is maybe a low bar thing, but they just the types of problems that they are working on. I think the biggest shock for the students has been that the problems on the face of it seem like relatively easy problems. And I don't mean that as a negative slight against
Sure.
our community. It's the sense of awareness that there's all of these problems that are solvable or at least could be worked on that cities and counties don't have the time or resources to necessarily do on their own. And so the students have felt like they're really doing something valuable that doesn't take a ton of their effort. I mean, they are putting a lot of work into it. I'm not trying to slight this, but they're moving something forward in a way that wouldn't have happened without their help. And I think that's really enlightening in terms of how challenging some of these relatively simple sounding problems can be for a city, a municipality to take on. And that gives them a lot of perspective as they think about their own communities and the struggles that they see. So I think that's been a big part of it for the students.
Do you think too that sometimes the students learn that what appears to be easy is not easy at all?
Yes, yep, that is the fair other side of it. You know, something that, oh, why don't they just do X, Y, Z? And then they realize there
Sure.
are
I can tell
constraints
you
and
for
they're
free what to do.
right.
Yeah.
It's obvious to me as a young person. And that's, I think, but, and that I think that's important too, because they're thinking about it from their perspective as a young person who is currently in a university system and relatively sheltered from some of those other challenges out there in the world. So they're approaching problems with that mindset, but they're also realizing the importance of engaging everyone in a community as a part of a problem that they're working on. So I mentioned this, Cottage Grove is thinking about doing some economic development, a very particular parcel of land. And the students were really thoughtful about how do we make sure we're opening this survey up to all of the community members. So not just people that have access to a cell phone where they can use a QR code, but how do we get it to folks who may not have computer access, who may not feel comfortable? So they came up with, they were very careful to make sure they designed the survey so that it could be printed out and actually filled in by hand as well. So I think there's that aspect as well, as sort of thinking about what it means to serve everyone in a community and how solutions have to really be inclusive in that way.
Yeah, Evan, talk about some of the projects that have gone really well. I mean, because communities can take or leave these suggestions, right? I mean, they could take the report and say, you know, we're trashing it, or they could really make it come to life. Have you seen some good examples of things that have worked?
To Aaron's point about the grant writing thing, we actually had one community who wanted to build like a mental health navigator program and a teen intervention program to look at like drug and alcohol, you know, prevention in youth. And they took what our Masters of Public Health students did, turned it into a grant application, and like, voila, like they ended up getting mental health navigator program. They got it funded. They also got some funding to do some data sharing data sharing for the opioid crisis, to be able to data share across the community. They got some funding to implement that. They now have a teen intervention program that could that's off the ground in different communities across Greene County. So that was a great success story. We actually had the Adams County Economic Development Corporation come to us and say, hey, we took your students' ideas for how to attract young people to live in our community by offering them some home buyer assistance programs. And we're going to set aside some money in the county budget for that. Or, you know, we had a community come to us and say, hey, that adopt a storm drain program that you all came up with, like, awesome idea. We like totally surpassed our expectations of the number of residents that we got to sign up for the adopt a storm drain program. Or, you know, Racine County said like, oh, we absolutely love that staff training that you helped for us, helped create for us. We've also had communities. So we actually just had in Columbia County, the city of Portage, they're building this is kind of a funny story. They're building a business park and they thought, oh, like, let's put a dog park in this, you know, business park. It'll, you know, spur some more interest. And it took the community a little bit of time to like respond to our students. And so our students were like, okay, well, we haven't heard anything from our partners in a couple of weeks. We're just going to make this like the Taj Mahal of dog parks. And so they just like put all their like grandiose ideas on paper. And then the community partner were like, oh, wow, this isn't what we were thinking, but this is actually great. Like, we love it. And it's like, it pushed the developer forward to be like, we need to develop this dog park right now. And so they told us that like the dog park is like helping advance, you know, their business park. And then we did a trade market analysis for them, and they were able to recruit a Scooter's Coffee into this new business park, and they're hoping that that helps attract more interest. But you know, a new we have a new there was like a mentoring program that's happening at Judah schools for new teachers that wouldn't have happened before. I mean, the list is pretty long of things that communities come back and tell us. And also, Shireen, as another kind of funny story, we did something for Monona around marketing their parks and rec like facilities so that more people would use their park and rec facilities. And so we actually did some like PR spots, like public information, like little, you know, like something that would be on WPR, like their local radio station. And they were like, you did exactly what we wanted, and we hated it. So thank you for telling us what we didn't want. Which I know sounds a little silly, but like they could have gone and spent like hundreds of thousands of dollars on like a huge campaign
That they
that
didn't
they just
like.
kind of dipped their toe in the water with UW-Madison students. We did exactly what they asked for. And they're like, not exactly what we wanted. And that I think is also valuable. Like
Sure.
sometimes you can use these students to like go down a rabbit hole that you might not otherwise want to do on your own. It's like, well, let's just see what it's like have them muck something up
Yeah.
or do something for us. And it's kind of a low barrier to entry way to try out some interesting threads, like pull on some interesting threads and like see where it goes, you know? Yeah. So I mean, we have a lot of different examples of success stories.
Aaron, what's the timeline for you? I mean, when are you expecting to hear more or get your report? What are you looking at?
So really, this is it takes a while. So right now, I think we've been matched for one of our four with a school and a group. And when I say a school, you know, Madison's big, a school within the school. And we expect to really start getting to work next year, so fall semester of 2024, and then spring of 2025, and then just kind of continue from there and kind of see where the timelines take us and how long the relationship lasts. But we're looking forward to getting started.
Oh, I bet. I bet. Well, we have about 3 minutes left in our time together. And Gavin, I wanted just to give you an opportunity to talk about who can apply and where they need to go to find out more information about how to do that.
Yes, absolutely. People can apply at our website, University, UNIVERCITY. We tried to do a little cute marketing. And again, please don't think that you have to be a city to apply. Please don't think you have to be a large urban area. We just did university as a cute like way to marry the university and local government, because univer local government doesn't sound nearly as cool as
Okay.
university.
True.
So any community, large, small, urban, rural, suburban, exurban, it doesn't matter. You can apply. And we do have an application deadline of our for a new cohort on August as August 3rd. But like if you want to apply earlier, if you want to apply later, we're happy to take in applications on a rolling basis as well. But it's university.wisc.edu, and in the upper right-hand side of our website, it says, you know, apply to be a part of the university program. And we are happy to do that. And Shireen, I gotta say before we cut out here, I know we don't have much time left. I just wanted to say I deeply appreciate all of the community partners who have worked with us, because they went out on a limb and took a chance on working with a bunch of college students on their public issues.
Yes.
And number two, I also wanted to say a special thanks to the faculty who have worked with us. This program would be absolutely nothing if we didn't have faculty and instructors who realized that like we have a responsibility to teach students about things going on outside of the academy. And so we have a growing list of faculty who are working with us. And so for all those naysayers out there, like, oh, faculty, what do? They just research. The answer is like, you don't know the faculty that I know. who are willing to go out there and adjust their courses to make sure that their students have amazing experiences. And we're trying to continue to grow that coalition of people who do that work. So anybody who's listening to this, who's a faculty, who might be interested in doing stuff with us, please, please, please get in touch with me.
Sounds great. I want to thank you all for joining me today. And Aaron, I'll be checking back with you to see how that program all works out in the future. This is Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Once more, sincere thanks to our guests, Gavin Luter, Angela Keita, and Aaron Jensen. Ezra Wall and Joy Ratch Kramer assisted in producing this program. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program, as well as our previous programs, at wpr.org/route51 and on your favorite podcast platform. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Wisconsin Public Radio.